Wednesday. We're having vacation Bible school starting Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, so we're not going to have a regularly scheduled services that night. I think a lot of folks are helping with VBS, but if anybody would like to come that night and just fellowship or help out wherever is needed, that's fine, but we're not going to have a regular service next Wednesday night. We're going to start vacation Bible school at 6 o'clock. That's going to go from 6 to 8, so just for those that are not actually helping in VBS, if you want to come and fellowship, that's fine. Come pray or whatever you'd like to do, but we're not having a regular service next Wednesday. So, all right, take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Proverbs. Continue on the home tonight, and I understand, especially on Wednesday evenings, we got some folks in church that can't come on Wednesdays. I mean, somebody said 66 here on Sunday. And it's a big drop from Sunday to Wednesday night. There's some that just can't make it on Wednesdays, and that's just the nature of their jobs. There's some that just won't come on Wednesdays, and there's some that are hit and miss. But I know with a smaller crowd, when you're dealing with a subject like this, it gets real personal. But our Wednesday night Bible studies are the most downloaded sermons that we have on our website. I mean, I think the one I did last week already is over 200. And so there's people all over the world, literally, that are downloading some of these things and listening to them. So some of the things that I'm covering, I don't know if they apply to every person in here, but these are definitely things that a lot of the average homes deal with. And so we're going to continue on like everybody needs it. Amen. All right. And so I'm looking at some potential problem areas in the home. And last week we did look at the three stages of marriage, and we understand that that second stage is where most of these problems begin to arise and where people begin to see the need for something to change, because if it doesn't, we're going to be in trouble. And so as we begin to look through here, I want to start to just mention a few of these problem areas. And now these different problem areas might not be the problem in the marriage, but they're things that can arise in a marriage that will agitate it and make it worse. And so I want to look at a few different ones, and we're going to look at one tonight that is a big one, and it's financial problems. Couples are going to have underlying problems in the home. And a lot of times they don't sit down long enough to have a civil conversation to find out what the root cause of the problems is. Things pop up. The finances, these different things we're going to mention, they'll pop up and it causes a big argument, a big problem, but they don't ever sit down long enough to talk to each other to find out what the root problem is. Somebody get their feelings hurt. Did something happen? Something was said. Who knows what it could be? But there's going to be problems in the home. But then they begin to blame each other, and it turns into a fight. It turns into an argument that builds up, turns into bitterness, and turns into a whole lot of problems. And sadly, ultimately, could wind up in divorce. It happens all the time. It happens every day. And so as young couples and people that enter this second stage of marriage that we talked about last week, and if you didn't hear that one, it's on the website from last week. But as they enter into that stage, as things begin to come up, communication is very, very important. It's the same thing in a job, in a workplace, in a church, anywhere, especially in a marriage, to begin to talk about some of the things that are causing the problems and try to communicate about those things and try to find out what's going on. A couple that's not getting along and they're constantly having reoccurring arguments, reoccurring theme of an argument, they need to stop and find out what is causing this argument to be brought up all the time. And sometimes those are difficult conversations to have, but they have to be had if your marriage is going to have a shot at being something that is going to be anything that God will be pleased with. And so I want to look at one tonight, and this is a difficult one. A lot of times in churches, it doesn't get talked about a whole lot, and people say, don't tell me how to raise my kids, and don't talk to me about money. And so we're going to talk about financial problems tonight that could be a conflict in a marriage. And again, financial difficulties may not be the problem, but it certainly can be a major problem in families. And it doesn't matter if it's too little money or too much money, it's still money. they could argue both ways. If they had plenty of money coming in, it still could be an area of contention. If they don't have enough money, more than likely it will be an area of contention. Either way, it's going to be a problem. And so it still has to be dealt with. And people have to understand, especially young couples, that you have to live within the means that you have. You have to. You cannot live outside of those means. And prices are going up. Things are changing. But that's not the cause of people's financial problems in their marriage today, because they've been having those a long time, even when prices were lower. There's difficult things, and we're going to talk about a few of those, but they have to be able to live within their means and learn to be content with what God's given them. There's some people that they're not willing to wear clothing that doesn't have a name brand on it. You can't do that if you don't make name brand money. You just can't do it. But yet we live in a society that allows you to do it. But you're going to be broke. You might have the clothes, you might have all the fashion, you might have all those things, but the debt collector is going to come looking for money. You got to do it. I'm going to do something. It's a simple illustration. But I just want to show something. Brother Bowen, you help me. I put this mic on tonight, but I believe so I can move around. Is it working? All right, Brother Bowen. He's going to help me. All right? So, this is simple. This is something that we probably should be teaching the Truth Club tonight. But you got to teach it to adults. Okay? Brother Bowen worked this week. He made $3. All right? That's about all the work he did. $3. All right? And then Brother Bowen's going along, and he decides he's going to go to the store. And he goes to the store not planning on what he's going to go buy. He just said, I'm going to go get some groceries or go get something. There's no plan. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. Maybe he's got to get some milk, and that's the goal. But he doesn't plan. He goes, and he gets to the store. Well, he sees something he wants. Well, $3, believe it or not, that'll buy you a gallon of milk at the Dollar General handful. It's a dollar. It was $1.50 all the time. Now it's $1.75, I think. You can buy a gallon of milk at $1.75 at the Dollar General in Hanceville all day long. Amen. Praise the Lord for Dollar General in Hanceville. All right? So $1.75. Well, he's in there, and he sees some gadgets. And he sees some other things he wants. And he sees some snacks. He sees some potato chips. He sees some candy bars. And next thing you know, he's got his cart full, and he gets up there, and he pulls out his $3 he made for the week, and they say that's going to be $12. Well, that's not going to cut it. So he pulls out a piece of plastic and swipes the plastic and walks out the door with all of his stuff. Okay? So now, how much are you down? $9. All right, so now you're in the hole $9. Pay $3 to the credit card company, and you owe them $9. Next week comes along. You get paid $3. All right, you still owe $9, and you got to eat this week. Goes to the grocery store. Buys something. Buys this. Buys that. All right? Racks up $10. Okay? Now he lost out on that again. Now he owes the credit card company even more money. He only makes $3 a week, but he's spending 10. He's spending 12. He's spending 15. And the next week, he's got to eat again, and he's got to pay for gas. He's not living within his means. But if he made $3 a week and he said, man, things are getting bad. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get the bare minimum, and I'm going to spend $1.75 on my milk and take it home, and I'm going to, when the storm's coming, it's milk and bread. And so I'm going to take my milk and take my bread for $2, and I'm going to get home, and that's what I'm eating on, and I got a dollar left until paycheck next week. And now he don't owe nobody nothing, and he's eating, and he's doing the bare minimum. That's a simple illustration, right? It's Americans do it every day. And guess what? That $9 on that credit card is not what you're paying. I'm going to get back into that here in just a moment. This is simple, simple stuff. I mean, if you ask the average young couple today, the older folks, hopefully they've got it figured out a little bit. But even them, you know, I don't know. But you ask the average young couple, sit down with them and say, hey, let me see your budget. They say, what? Let me see your budget. Let me see your what? I don't know what that is. Amen. Let me see your budget. You write down how much you're bringing in and how much you're spending, and you balance it out and see what's left. Well, we're negative $200. Well, you better find $200 in there to get rid of. And you say, well, not only that, not only my negative $200, but I owe this over here. Well, now you got to cut it by less than $200 so you can pay that bill to try to catch up. And you say, well, that's hard to do. If you have to have more money, you got to make more money. And we're going to get into some more of this stuff as we go. But the tendency with financial problems is to deal with the symptoms rather than the cause of the problems. We're going to react to the symptoms, the worry, the anger, the greed, the covetousness, the resentment, the overindulgence, the poor record keeping. Those are the things that we're going to attack and try to go after rather than the root cause. Getting mad about not having enough money is not going to fix anything. I mean, you can argue about it. You can cuss about it. You can get mad at Biden. You can get mad at the gas prices. Biden did this. You can even get four of those stickers and put them all over your house. But that's not going to fix your problem. Getting upset and angry and aggravated about it is not going to fix the financial problem. So I want to look at just a few areas that finances can cause a problem in a marriage. And I don't know if I'll get to all of it tonight, but we're going to begin to look at this. One of the key causes of financial problems is financial ignorance. Ignorance. Now, I have no clue what they're teaching kids in school today about finances. If it's anything like the government runs finances, we're in trouble. Because they don't know how to balance a checkbook either. But not knowing how to handle money and control money can quickly lead to absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. Proverbs chapter 24. And you might ask me, say, Brother Andrew, do you have it all figured out? No, I don't got it all figured out. And when I started off, it was rough. But I quickly had to become an adult and learn how to handle it. Quickly. And thankfully, my wife was better at it than I was, and she helped me. And when I first got married, I said, man, I'm the man of the home. I'm going to take the checkbook. And after, you know, a couple bounce checks, she goes, can I please have it back, man of the house? I said, yes, can you show me what I'm doing wrong? Amen. And my parents have taught me some things, but not a lot when it comes to this. And so a lot of it I was learning on my own, and I wasn't as responsible as I should with keeping up with the checkbook and writing in a ledger. And I mean, if you're looking at your bank account three times a day to see what's in there, you're not handling your finances right. You're not doing it right. And you say, oh man, I got $400. Yeah, well, you forgot about the $700 bill you paid 2 weeks, or about 2 or 3 days ago, that hasn't cleared the account yet. Amen. That's not the way to keep up with it. And so not understanding how to handle or control money can lead to a disaster in a hurry. And when we first got married, I dealt with some of that with me. Thankfully, she did a good job at it, and we worked together on it. And it wasn't long after that I took it back over. And thank the Lord, as far as I know, we haven't had one bounce check since then. I mean, I might have one tomorrow, but I haven't had one since then. And so look at Proverbs chapter 24. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject and things that relate to it. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 30. We're talking about one of the problems when it comes to marriage and finances is ignorance. Not knowing how to handle and control money. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 30. It said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So we got a man that's ignorant. He's void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Here we have a man that's walking by someone's field. He notices it's overgrown with briars and weeds, and the stone wall is falling down. And it makes it obvious to him that the person that's taking care of this field does not know what they're doing, or they don't care. It's obvious to him as he walks by and sees this. In verse 32, I'll read it again. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And what did I get out of this? Verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Apparently the owner of this field was either irresponsible or did not know what he needed to do to keep up and work diligently to take care of what he had. Void of understanding. He didn't know how to do it, how to handle it. And there's no get-rich-quick schemes. You might say, what about the lottery? Yeah, go spend hundreds of dollars trying to win that one, and, you know, you're not going to win. Amen? It's not going to happen. That's dumb tax. That's what I think what's his name calls it, dumb tax. God's method is work hard and be honest. That's God's way of doing things. And you might say, Brother Andrew, I struggle with keeping a checkbook. I struggle with budgeting. I struggle with figuring out how to do this. Or sometimes people say, well, our checks are different every month. There's a way to find out what the average is. Amen. It goes back to simple math. And I know they're teaching crazy math in school today. I don't think they're doing it in Alabama, though, are they? The Common Core math or whatever that stuff is. But there's ways of doing it. There's ways to figure it out. And there's plenty of people that if we'll humble ourselves down and say, hey, can you please help me figure out this? A lot of times we don't want to do that because when they look at it, they're like, well, why are you spending money on that? And why are you spending money on that? Why are you spending money on tobacco? Why are you spending money on alcohol? What's this right here? You paid $5 for a Coca-Cola that you drank water. Amen? I mean, when the going gets rough. And so, not having an understanding of what's going on, ignorance. The Bible here defines it as void of understanding. So, this owner of this field either is irresponsible, didn't know what he needed to do. It was observed that he was lazy, that he was slothful, irresponsible. And it was determined in verse number 34 that if this man kept going this way, that he was going to end up in poverty. He was going to end up in poverty. The moral of the story is that if one is going to have material possessions, you have to work to keep up with those material possessions. If you're going to own something and have something, hey, a house is not cheap. You might say, man, I got a great price on my mortgage payment. Things break all the time. All the time. People drive over your septic tank and crush it in, trying to pull your truck out of the yard. So it's really my fault. $700, bam, just like that. Amen? Lightning hits our house. We lose half our appliances. Just like that. You say, what about insurance? Insurance is that close to being good for nothing. Amen? Because my deductible is just so right where everything was covered under it for me to pay for. Right? And so things happen all the time. And you got to be prepared. So if you're going to have things, I don't think there's anything wrong with having things as long as they don't have you. But you have to be prepared to take care of those things. You got to be prepared to provide for your home. And so we find that this man here is dealing with these things. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. We're going to look at a few different verses. I understood that this might be a little bit more of a sober lesson tonight. The average, the average home, maybe even the average person in church, they cannot tithe the way that they're supposed to because of the debt that they're in. But I want to tell you tonight, and this isn't even a part of my notes, you cannot get out of debt and get in a position unless you are tithing. You give God right off the top, 10%. You will not gain any traction if you do it. If you pay all your bills and say, well, there's not enough for this, you're not going to go nowhere. You're not going to go nowhere. And I have some verses on that if we make it to it tonight. But you're not going to go anywhere. But a lot of folks, they can't tithe the way they're supposed to. They can't give the missions the way that they need to. If the offering plate goes around for a project, we're going to try to take up some money on Sunday for a bus in Papua New Guinea. And you know, there's people that say, man, I wish that I could give to that, but I just can't. Why? Because we owe so much money for things. And a lot of the things we owe money for, we don't even use anymore. There are things that don't even get used. Are there? You can go on and on and on about this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. This is a truth that everybody needs to learn, every young couple. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get what? Wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And there's verse after verse we can look at. What I'm getting at is that there's no get-rich-quick schemes. And if you find one, you'll probably end up in prison. God's way is be honest and trust Him and work. And work. You say, well, I wish I had this. Well, you need to work harder. I don't make enough money. Well, find a way to make more money. Amen. Better yourself. Get a raise at work. Show up to work. Brother Charlie used to say all the time, if a young man would just show up on time and stay off of drugs and stay off his phone, that he could move his way up in a company. You don't even have to be a great employee. Just show up to work on time, stay off your phone, stay off of drugs, and you can move up in a company. And we've seen that proven time and time again. Just show up and do right, and God will bless. God will take care of the rest. The problem is we can't find people today that will show up to work on time. And we can't find them that will stay off of drugs or stay off of alcohol or stay off of their phone. I went to Lowe's the other day and went in there and bought some electrical things because I had to make some extra money to pay for some bills. So I took some side work and went to Lowe's. I bought the stuff. I get up to the counter and the woman is sitting there on her phone. Okay, you've all seen this. But she's on her phone and she's frustrated that I'm in her line. She's frustrated. And I hear of people that like that all the time that say, no, I'm not taking this no more. And they walk out and they quit right in the middle of the day. And they come back Friday and want to know where their paycheck is. But she's standing there. So finally, I, you know, just stood there. I can't say anything because if I did, then I'd be, you know, a racist male chauvinist. And so I waited. She got done, went through the lineup. Well, a couple of the things, the barcode was scratched, so she couldn't scan it. So she just threw it in the bag and said, don't worry about it. I said, no, I'm not doing that. And she goes, no, if they can't get a decent barcode on there, then you can have it. And I said, I'm not doing that. And there was a manager standing behind her. And I said, ma'am, there's another lady, she came over. And I said, I got to pay for this. And she goes, don't worry about it. I was like, this is a manager? I said, I've got to pay for it. So I went back and got a picture of the barcode. Brought it back up, let her scan it again. I'd probably try to put the thing in and the house burned down. What are you getting at? People are lazy. They don't want to work. There's plenty of work to be had. God's way is do right. and He will take care of you. He said in Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy what? Good job. Make sure nobody's reading the NIVs. In the sweat of thy face. That's God's way of doing it. God's way of doing it is work. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, when He's talking to Adam about how He's going to work by the sweat of His face, He's like, you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to plant. You're going to have to pull weeds. You're going to have to get down there and work. That's the way that God set it up. All right, let me... Let's look at another potential area when it comes to money. So the first one is, and this is a big one, this is what a lot of young couples fall in, and that's just not having the wisdom, and they're ignorant about financial things. Another potential problem is having the wrong attitude about money. Most people do not understand what money is for. They treat it as it's something other than what it's for. And that could cause problems in a home. What is God's purpose for us having money? It is to take care of our needs, to take care of our family, and to support the church and support missions. It is not for you to get ahead in life. It's not for you to have the nicest and biggest things. If that is your purpose for money, then you're in for a world of hurt. And those things that you have to have, they are out of date when you walk out the door with them. And then you're going to want the next one. And you're going to want to have the newest one. And you're going to want to have a different one. And somebody's going to have one nicer than you. We got to understand what money and understand what its value is to me. God provides money for our family to take care of my family so we can give to missions and go on for the glory of God. That's what it ought to be for. Misunderstanding what the money's for can lead to problems in a home. In James chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Envy is definitely going to be a problem concerning money. Has anybody ever heard, I wish I could buy one of those? Amen? Pretty quiet. Brother Grady was here. I'd get him to tell a joke, but he's not. I wish we had enough money for this. You know, the devil loves that kind of talk. Because he can get in that heart and say, Well, he just bought that. Why can't you have it? Why can't you have what you want? Because look what he just bought. Amen? And it can cause problems. You start getting an attitude. The end result is confusion and every evil work. We found there in James chapter 3. And proper attitudes towards money and its purposes can cause serious problems in a marriage. Number three, poor financial planning is another problem that has to be solved in a home. Poor financial planning. I gave the illustration when we started off about going to a grocery store. And if you do not go to the grocery store with a list and a plan, you might go off reservation. I mean, I've heard simple tricks like don't go hungry. Don't go to the grocery store when you're starving. You think you're starving. You don't know what starvation is. But you go to the grocery store and you don't have a list. You don't have a plan. It's best to write out exactly what you need. We're talking... Now listen, if you've got the extra money to go buy a bunch of snacks and junk and all that, then go do it. If that's what you want to do. Amen. I'm talking about the people that are having financial problems. Having a plan when you go in and don't end up having to use somebody else's money to feed your children. So what do you mean by that? MasterCard, Discover, Visa, whatever your bank is. You're asking them to feed your children. You're asking them to feed your family because you don't have enough to take care of it. And now you're a servant to the lender. You're a servant to them. You owe them. Now you're not able to do what you need to do when it comes to the work of God or even your family because of it. Using somebody else's money with the intent of paying it later. And we go into this snowball effect, like I mentioned earlier, where we get in debt, but then the very next week we got to eat again. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. There's an illustration about a man that talked about every time he went in to buy something, he saw something he wanted that wasn't on his list. He made it a point to intentionally not buy it that day. And he would go home and he would think about it, pray about it. And he goes, you know what? A couple days later, I realized I really didn't need it. But we're creatures of impulse. We see it. Oh, well, let me try one of those. How many times have you done that and got home and looked at your receipt and said, I cannot believe I just paid that much money for that? Don't raise your hand. Has anybody ever done that before? Where you bought it, got it home, and said, man, I can't believe I paid that much money for that. Have a purpose. And I believe that you ought to sit down together, especially when it comes to young couples and if there's not a lot of money to work with and work out a plan on this is what we're buying and we have to stick to this and both agree to it, and you better both agree to it. Don't one or the other slip off somewhere and start sliding the card off of reservation. You guys had a plan and stick to it. Because you know what? When you start doing that, when you get home and she has to say, hey, you really bought an entire meal at a gas station? You bought your lunch at a gas station? Now, I know that I heard McDonald's, you know, all drinks $1 went up to $1.36 today. But most of you could probably find $1.36 in the couch cushions or somewhere. But that same drink at some of these gas stations is $6. Amen? And you make a plan and try to stick to it, but one or the other goes off reservation, starts swiping the card, and goes off of the plan. It's going to cause frustration. It's going to cause problems in that marriage. You see something you want and it's not on the list, go home and pray about it and figure it out and ask God to give you the money for it. And if He doesn't, then you don't need it. Amen? You've been living without it this long. Most items that are bought on impulse are things that a person do not really need. They don't really need them. They usually clutter up a closet. They lie in the garage. They collect dust. And I can get into Christmas presents. I'm gonna wait on that. How much money do we spend trying to keep up with everybody else and make sure every kid's got a certain amount and it's stuff that they don't even care about in a couple days? All right, Luke chapter 14. I knew this would be fun. You know, all the areas of our Christian life, I would think we'd want to stand before Christ and say, Lord, I did the best I could to please You. And this should be one of those areas, too, that we say, Lord, we tried to please You with our money. Now, listen, people get in financial trouble. It happens. But you say, what do I do? Stop digging the hole. Put your foot down and say, no, today going forward, we're going to start trying to climb out. God, with Your help, we're going to try to climb out and do it right. Trust God. And I'm telling you, He'll start meeting needs left and right. You get your giving right, get your missions right, and God will just start blessing. And He'll start. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. And next thing you know, you're standing on solid ground again. You're not in the hole anymore. And now you start actually getting nice things and building up. But if you're down in the bottom of the hole and you're complaining about how much debt you're in, and the whole time you got your shovel just continuing to dig. Let's talk about how much trouble we're in. Okay, you scoop a while and we'll talk about it. And then I'll scoop a little while and we'll keep talking about it. And the whole time just going further and further and further down. And some people might say, well, I don't even know how to even start getting out. I'll tell you where I'd start is on my knees. Asking God for wisdom. Asking Him for understanding. And then I'd sit down and have a hard conversation with my spouse and look at every single penny we spend and say, is this necessary? Do we have to have this? Do we have to do it this way? Amen? And say, no, I think we could get by on doing that a little bit different. I think we can. I don't even know if ramen noodles are still the cheapest thing to eat or not. But if this is what we have to do for a little while to start getting out of this thing, and guess what? God is not going to allow you to go hungry. He'll take care of you. I can't tell you how many times stories, my sister and brother sitting in here, stories where we'd get home from somewhere and there's groceries sitting on the front step. Groceries. My mom used to make this thing called cowboy stew. To this day, it makes me want to throw up a little bit. I don't even know what was in it, but it was black-eyed peas. Somebody had given us a lot of black-eyed peas. And we ate that every... But, hey, we had food. But then I remember times where that thing hit there and there was, you know, some of that sugary cereal and stuff in it. Amen. And I don't know. I remember the last time I ate black-eyed peas. I'm scared of them. But what I'm getting at is God fed and He provided. And then God, and it, you know, God blessed and He blessed. And I'm just telling you, He can do it. He can take care of you. But some people think it's impossible. Are you trying to tell God He can't do it? Amen. I trust God for this, this, and this. But when it comes to this right here, I'm in so much trouble. Well, guess what? You were headed straight for hell. And then God saved you. There was no bigger problem than that. Your sin was sending you to hell. And Jesus took care of that. He paid it all. Some of you saying, I wish He'd just pay all this debt right now. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to get up tomorrow and go to work, make wise decisions, and trust Him. Amen? Where was I? Poor financial planning. All right, did I tell you to go to Luke 14? All right. Luke chapter 14, verse number 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. When we lived in West Jefferson, you probably remember the house that sat next to the one that we lived in right next door. They started to build the house. They ran out of money. And it sat like that for years. And you, every time you drove by, you said, man, that was going to be a beautiful house. I ran some crackheads out of there trying to steal copper out of it a few times when I lived next door. I've not been by there in a long time, but somebody told me the house is actually built and finished now. Has anybody seen it? Yeah, they said it's actually built and finished and looks nice. And so, you know, they finally, but it sat like that for years. People offered to buy it. And the guy's like, no, when I get some more money, I'm going to finish it. And I'm not saying that he went into it thinking, you know, I don't know if he was this man, but just by looking at it driving by, you would think he ran out of money. I mean, that might have been his plan the whole time. His 10-year plan was to build the house, not a 2-year plan or 1-year plan. I don't know. But sadly, there's a lot of Christians that are in the same condition as this parable. They run headlong into financial situations. They make financial decisions before praying about it and before sitting down with a pencil and a piece of paper and God and each other and figuring out, what is this going to cost us? Buying a couch through a rent-a-center is a horrible idea. That's a bad financial decision. You're going to pay 5 times the amount of that couch or more by the time you get done making your $20 a month payments. And then when you can't pay it, they're going to repo your couch. How embarrassing is that to get a couch repoed? Amen? You say, what do I do? Sit on the floor. Until you got the money. Hey, in Alabama, there's plenty of couches laying on the side of the road. Go out there, get a pressure washer, get boards and nails, and fix you up one. Amen? not having wisdom and counting the cost. I don't even know if I should say this. Automobiles. Other big purchases. Sometimes those can be impulse buys, and we don't even find out what the interest rate is. How many times does a young couple go in to buy something, the only question they ask is what? How much is the monthly payment? How much is it going to cost me every month? They'll be glad to tell you. We can get it down to $200 a month. I'll take it. Yeah. You know, you just bought a $150,000 Yugo. Why? Because by the time you get done paying the minimum payment on that thing and the interest, they love to see young couples pull up. Because all they ask is, what is the monthly payment going to be? What's it going to be? You know, I understand sometimes you have to, you know, people think they need to, or they have to get a loan on a vehicle and things like that. I've had to do it. I'm paying on the one out there. My company's making payments on it for now. But whenever I bought it, I said, I want to know how much the total's going to be when I finish paying this thing off. And if I make extra payments, how much is it going to be? What's the interest going to be on it? You don't start off with how much are the monthly payments going to be. Amen. A credit card balance of $1,000 at 18% per year requires a $25 minimum payment. That will actually cost the consumer 60% in interest if he chooses to pay only the minimum. They love it when you only pay the minimum. And we're living in a world where you have to have a credit card for certain things. You know, there's places that you go that they're completely cashless. You have to have some kind of card. But if you're undisciplined with that thing, you need to keep it locked up. Be able to pay it off every single month. 18% of $1,000 would be $180 for the year. On the unpaid balance is what you're paying the interest on. And so we could sit here and do the math on this thing. But what I'm saying is, if you take out a $1,000 loan at 18% interest and you only pay the $25, you're going to be paying on that thing for a long time and way more than the $1,000. Counting the cost. Sitting down and understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. We'll look at just a couple more verses and I'm going to stop here. Get done with this extremely uncomfortable financial discussion and go into communication problems next week or in 2 weeks. Aren't y'all excited for VBS next week? All right, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7. What, the rich ruleth over the what? The poor. The borrower is servant to the lender. And you know what's really bad? Is when you're serving two masters and you can only pay one of them. Amen. And husbands, I've already dealt with this when I talk to the husbands. Do not make her talk to the debt collector. That's your job. Amen. Don't make her do it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. We're going to end up with this one. I might quote a couple other ones, but the blessing of the Lord, it maketh what? Rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Being in debt and servant to all these other people brings sorrow. And it could be an area of contention in a marriage and in a home. And listen, I've talked about some of these things when I dealt with the husbands. But husband, at the end of the day, that's your responsibility. And you should not just say, you deal with it and then go off. Especially if you're the one working and she's not. How is she supposed to deal with it with not enough money? How is she supposed to do that? Magically? Doesn't happen that way. You got to work together. It's not the job, the paycheck, or the bank account that's going to make a difference in your life financially. It's going to be your attitude towards it and God. He's the one that's going to make the difference. I've seen people that make hardly nothing at all, and they have a joyful life. They've got peace. Why? Because they just trust God and God provides. Then I've seen people that make decent money, make good money, and they're miserable. They're in sorrow. You have the more money you make, if you get a raise, that doesn't mean you go spending more. Say, Lord, help me get out of this financial situation. So He gives you a raise at work, and that all of a sudden you start spending more. Wow, I can go from a $200 a month car payment to a $400 car payment now. And you're just continually digging that hole, and I'm digging my hole here, so I'm finishing. We need to trust the Lord. What does He say over there in Matthew chapter 6 about the birds and about the food and raiment? Just trust the Lord. Take no thought for those things. What do you mean take no thought for what I eat? Take no thought for what I wear. God knows you need those things. Just get up every day and go to work and trust Him. And do right. Don't fight against Him. Our Heavenly Father loves us and He wants the best for you. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, I do want to read this one. Psalms chapter 37. These are good, encouraging verses. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do what? Good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be what? Fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You can trust God in this area just like you can with every other area in your life. You can trust Him. Proverbs 15, 16 through 17 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You're better off doing it God's way and trusting God than having the money and having all the other things. Just trust God. God's riches bring no sorrow. But riches things that are gained by owing other people, you're going to have sorrow. And listen, I know we live in a world where people have debt and they owe on things. They owe on houses. They owe on cars. They owe on couches and TVs. We live in a day where people have those things. But I'm telling you right now that it's an area of contention if God's not involved. We don't get wisdom from the Lord on it. And it could cause major problems. Amen. All right, let's all stand.